You're listening to KNKX. It's been 5 months since former Seattle Mayor Ed Murray resigned after a fifth person came forward accusing him of sexual abuse decades before. He has denied any wrongdoing. Now the Seattle Times is reporting Murray spent his final months in office trying to rehabilitate his image as more accusers stepped forward with allegations. The story was written by Seattle Times reporters Lewis Cam and Jim Bruner. Jim spoke with 88.5's Kirsten Kendrick about their investigation.
Jim, what was happening behind the scenes between April when the first accuser stepped forward and September when the mayor stepped down?
Well, as you can imagine, you know, some of this was playing out in public. We knew that Ed Murray was out there and his advisors were out there saying that these allegations were false. What we did with this story, I think, was peek behind the curtain, what was going on behind the scenes. And we were spurred by some particular incidents that we learned about that have not been well known. And the story focuses to some extent on those. For example, you know, the lead of the story is a text exchange between Jeff Reading, Ed Murray's longtime close advisor, confidant, going back to the days when Ed Murray was in the state Senate, and he had been Ed Murray's first communications director. He had worked for the Ed Murray's campaign. And during, as these allegations unfolded and the scandal unfolded, he had helped Ed Murray try to push back against them. But as we reported in July, behind the scenes, after we had reported some records out of Oregon where a child welfare investigator said that she believed that Ed Murray did sexually abuse his foster son, Jeff Reading started texting Seattle City Council member Lorena Gonzalez to basically say, we need to get this guy out of office.
So a lot of your reporting relies on texts and emails among city council members, like you said, staff in Murray's office and some of his supporters. Can you talk a little bit about your process for getting all this information together?
Yeah, well, throughout we've filed many public disclosure requests. I haven't totaled them up, but we've read thousands and thousands of pages of public records. You know, we're not listing all of them in the article because there's a process of going through them and seeing what's interesting. And we're in many cases pointed to what to look for. You know, that's informed by interviews and sources saying, you know, you should look for this. And sometimes we had to file multiple requests to get to the actual documents. For example, another item reported in the story that had previously not been known is one of Ed Murray's accusers, a man named Lloyd Anderson, who lives in Florida, went on the mayor's office website in 2015. And this is 2 years before any of this scandal sort of broke into the public. The allegations broke into the public. And he wrote on a web portal form where you might, most constituents would use that form to report a pothole or something. He used it to say, hey, Ed, remember me? I'm one of the kids you molested. And this, of course, sent shockwaves up through the mayor's office. And in the end, they didn't really respond to him and he didn't actually sort of demand a response. But it was sort of a warning sign of this scandal that was always lurking just below the surface. And so a lot of our records research was, you know, trying to look at how people in the mayor's office and around the mayor and advisors and things like that were trying to deal with this very stressful situation and how they were talking amongst themselves about how to handle it. And in some cases, I think as the story reflected, whether they still had faith in Ed Murray and whether he should still be mayor.
Right. And you also report a lot about meetings that Murray had with his closest confidants and supporters about how to handle all of the allegations and the stories that are coming out, and also about trying to plan for what would be next for him when he left office.
Yeah, I mean, going back to before he ran for mayor, as we've reported before, and people, it might get lost in the shuffle or people might not remember, but some of these allegations from Ed Murray's former foster son, Jeff Simpson, had surfaced sort of in the 2007-2008 timeframe when he was threatening to file a lawsuit. He contacted some reporters. He sought to tell his story to state legislators, but nobody, no media outlet ran with the story then because people were unable to find corroboration, in any case, made the decision not to run it. And so before Ed Murray ran for mayor in 2013, he, as you might do, huddled with his closest advisors at his house on Capitol Hill and said, what do we do if Jeff Simpson comes forward again? And they sort of wargamed, to my understanding, possible questions they might get from reporters. And they had a response. Ed Murray had a response. He still denies that he sexually molested Jeff Simpson or any of these other men. You know, those were some of the moments that were going on even before he ran for mayor. As the scandal unfolds in the mayor's office, and eventually Ed Murray, he realizes that his position is no longer tenable, so he's not running for re-election, but he thinks he can serve out his term. You know, behind the scenes, as you can imagine, he's thinking about, well, what do I do next? So he's talking with friends, brainstorming with people like Transportation Director Scott Kubley about taking over Sound Transit somehow. Ed Murray, through his attorney, said that was just sort of not a really serious conversation, but, you know, it was one of the, I think, text or email conversations we found. And then he's, you know, a friend of his reaches out who runs a talent management company and says, you know, here we can do this personality assessment that would sort of show what would be good for you after you're mayor and maybe rehabilitate your image, basically.
So, as you mentioned, Murray wasn't personally quoted in your story, but you have comments from his attorney, Steve Fogg.
Right. Steve Fogg is now his latest sort of personal attorney. There's no current lawsuit pending against him. The lawsuit, as you may remember, filed by Delvon Heckard, a Kent man who accused Ed Murray of molesting him in the 80s, was settled by the city for $150,000.
What are your takeaways after reporting this really in-depth story?
I think it's just kind of fascinating to peel back and see the honest conversations that were going on at the time. You know, one of the great things about public records and documents and communications that are happening in real time, I think, is that they are honest in a way that maybe if you go and interview somebody about what was going on, you're going to get some spin and some maybe even misremembering. And so I just think it really peels back the curtain on what was going on. And I should mention really quickly, there's a whole section in there about the deliberations among Seattle City Council members as, for example, Lorena Gonzalez, who used to work for Ed Murray in his office, publicly tried to call for his resignation and was pretty soundly shut down by her colleagues, including Councilmember Sally Bagshaw, said she's grandstanding, you know, in a text. I just think it's really interesting how people in power in Seattle sought to deal with the scandal, in some cases hope that it would just go away, in some cases strategize how to defend Ed Murray, and in one case of a close confidant, of course, try to move in the other direction and say, look, you know, I've been with this guy for a long time, but really he should not be mayor anymore.
All right, Jim, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Seattle Times political reporter Jim Bruner speaking with 88.5's Kirsten Kendrick. You can find the story he reported with Lewis Cam on the Times website. It'll also be in the Sunday paper.